Hi, we're millennial marketing and technology experts working exclusively with associations. This is Rethink Association, where we dissect the emerging research on how to revamp your approach to appeal to Gen Y and Z, to thrive and to stay relevant in today's streaming mobile world.
Okay, my name is Skylar Morris, and I work for the Armed Forces Benefit Association, and we usually say AFBA. AFBA is an organization that has people who work with National Guard, active duty military, first responders like firefighters, EMTs. These are the members of AFBA, and we are proud to provide member benefits to them through their five-star life insurance coverage.
And Skylar, what exactly do you do for AFBA? What's your role within the organization?
What I do at AFBA is marketing and communications, and I mostly focus on the external audiences, so that would be our members and our policyholders, and also our brokers and partnerships with different agents.
Yeah, so I think that it sounds like you have a number of different audiences that you're working with. So as we get into this discussion around personalization, I think it's something you guys are working towards, right? And something that you can really leverage in the future as you mature in your strategy. So today we wanted to talk through the Spotify effect, what we're calling the Spotify effect, which is essentially presenting a very personalized experience or presenting information to people who are visiting your website or sending out emails and content to your audience that's really targeted to either their behaviors or past interactions that they've had with your organization. And for anybody who joined us for our virtual conference last month, we had Reggie Henry from ASAE. And one of the points that he made that I think stood out to me was your competition is not another organization. Your competition is the last good digital experience that someone had. So that could be, you know, Instacart, or it could be, Zappos. But because we're all accustomed to having these experiences, Netflix and Spotify, we're kind of expecting that in every interaction we have with any company, organization, association. So Skylar, what do you think? What's your kind of thought around what we're calling the Spotify effect? Do you think it's creepy, or do you think it's helpful?
I think that the Spotify effect is, to me, helpful and kind of creepy, but it's also, for me, it's more so helpful. In my thoughts, I think it's more helpful because you're learning about your customers and you're learning about their behaviors. And one hand that, like I said before, it is creepy, but from a business perspective, it's very, very great because the more you know about your customer, the better chance you're going to have with their engagement, with the interaction with them, and with a sale with them, basically getting selling a product or whatever you want to, or that communication to them. It's easier to get it to them and for them to engage with it.
Right. And from like the consumer side of it, for me, I do think, especially initially, I always thought it was kind of creepy and I refused to have a Google Home or like Alexa in my house. But, you know, I think we're all kind of used to giving away our data and kind of now it's just normal to have that. Like when I go on Spotify, for example, and I think it's called like the Discover, there's a Made for You section in Discover Weekly. And I actually really like that because I go in there and they play music related to things that I've listened to in the past, and I find new music, and like I'm able to, it's actually helping me to discover new music, and like I appreciate that. I don't have to go and try to find things. You know, same with like Netflix or Uber Eats we talked about, like just potentially even giving offers or discounts around, like, hey, I know that you ordered this enchilada last week. Now you get 10% on the same enchilada, like it's lunchtime, right?
That might be creepy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little creepy.
So what's the movie that everyone talked about, The Social Effect or something? So I just downloaded an app that I like said out loud that I wanted, and then it gave me an ad, and I'm in the honeymoon phase. I love it. I tell what movies I like, what books I like, and it gives me suggestions. But based on that movie, I'm the product, I think, because I'm giving, no, yeah, I'm the product to them. Like I'm giving them away all my data for free for this. In return, I'm getting this like curated, customized experience. Are we okay with that? I think we're okay with that.
Are we okay? I mean, you're getting recommendations for movies and other content, right? So, and you're enjoying the experience.
It's a honeymoon phase. It's early days, but
maybe later you'll regret this.
On me, you know, based on what I like, and they're feeding that back into whatever machine learning or AI they use.
Yeah. Well, so I guess like you are, in a way, you are the product because they're creating like lookalike models, right? So it's like, hey, here's some things we think you'll like. And then you give feedback on like, yeah, I did like that. You like review the movie or whatever after you consume it.
So is it sacrosanct to flip it on associations? Would associations ever look at their members as products? That would be like evil almost.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, so, I think they should kind of a little bit, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's not, maybe saying like, you're my product is not the best way to state it. But I think it's more, so I think for associations, right, the idea is that you're here to offer service, you're here to offer benefits, like we're trying to help you solve a problem, right? So to use this strategy or this like method of thinking, it's like, I want to learn more about you and what you're trying to solve and what you're trying to accomplish so that I can make this really easy for you. And it's gonna, to me, that makes this experience a delight, right? Like I want you to help, you're here to help me. So like, help me learn how you can help me.
Uh-huh, I agree 100%. Or looking to the association for maybe sometimes guidance on certain, you know, maybe rules and regulations that are in your industry that you want to know more about, using them as reference tools. I think that's also important for the person to feel that the association is really there for them, and they come to them to get, you know, kind of the help and guidance that they need for their career, for the industry, or for even growth opportunities in their career, or like I said, just resource tools to learn more about something that they want to know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the points that Reggie had brought up was he talked about the navigation of association websites and how, you know, these members are coming to you because they do want that guidance and they want those resources. But sometimes there's so much that they're having a hard time like finding or getting to what they're looking for. So I think for associations, the idea of surfacing specific information based on the behavior, based on like stated interests or whatever that those algorithms are, surfacing that information, making it really, really easy to access and kind of anticipating like, what are you coming here to look for? And how can I make this like a seamless interaction, you know, to help you through that process?
So are there associations doing that today? What examples do we know of that we've experienced or can speak to?
So yeah. I think one of the points that we're kind of trying to touch on here is, I think the associations see the need for this, and I think that's like where we're trying to go in the future. But I think right now we're still trying to overcome these obstacles of the infrastructure is maybe not there. They have all this data they've been collecting all this data for years, right? But not necessarily being able to activate it on it, or even aware of like what all is there. So I almost feel like before we can even get into this like pie in the sky vision of, you know, personalized experience and surfacing the resources that they want and anticipating their needs, it's before you can do any of that, it's starting from the ground floor. And what data do we have? How can we activate on this? What tools and infrastructure do we need to put in place? Do we have the resources, like human resources, to actually build these strategies and put this all together? Because it is a big lift, and it does take a lot of collaboration across probably all of the teams. It's a shift in mindset, but I think it's a necessary evolution. Like we talk about with the Spotify effect, right? I expect this kind of experience because I'm getting it everywhere else. So why can't my association also provide this to me?
I think that it's really a good point too. Like, why can't they provide it to you, right? But like, I agree with you 100%. I really believe that that's where most associations want to start going and are making the effort now to head that way, and maybe not on that, you know, level of detail right away, but that's something that they're working towards and we'll get there.
Yeah. So I think that kind of leads into Skylar. I know you're sort of in the very beginning stages of this process with your organization, and can you kind of talk to us a little bit about what that process has looked like? I mean, even just from, you know, starting with the integration and deciding the business requirements and working with stakeholders to determine like what do you need to put in place to even start moving in that direction?
Going through that this whole process of, you know, the data integration and taking a step forward, like we just talked about, to get to that place of being able to know our customers better and do more things with our customers, or in our case, members, right? It's been a great process because not only are you learning more about the data that you have already, but you're learning more about how the internal stakeholders relate to that data as well. You're learning about what their involvement is in that data also. So it's not just, you know, you trying to figure it out or your department trying to figure it out. It's helping the whole business or the whole association figure out their part in the data and how we're going to leverage this data once we have it all in place and once we have it all there and in place to use it. So I think that's what the big thing that I have seen from this is how everything is connected and how the organization is really connected through that data that you're collecting. And we're going to be able to do more together once that data is all there.
Yeah, I think that's exciting, and it probably is like a different kind of conversation than you guys have maybe had in the past. Did you experience like initial resistance when you started these conversations? Was there like excitement around it? Like, what was the general feel as you started kind of explaining what you're trying to do and kind of asking for that input? What did that look like internally?
I think it was more so excitement. It was more so excitement there from the stakeholders that we worked with. More so excitement because they were oh, you're telling us if we do that, we were able to do that with that information. And we're like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, great. Like, it's more about the excitement for the opportunity to do more and to improve upon things that are in the past. Example would be working with our customer service team to better communicate things about policy to members, even as far as like knowing about their AFBA membership in general, but what the benefits are there. It's about being able to communicate those things, which we haven't done in the past necessarily easily. The excitement on their end, the customer service team's end, is like, great. Like, yes, like we're excited. So once we integrate this data, we're now able to talk to our members this way now and talk to only certain members about this, talk to certain members about this. We're able to now segment and do different things. Whereas before, you know, it maybe was more so not going there, or maybe just, you know, just sending out communications or emails about something and not really knowing if it's being effective or not. So it was definitely more excitement there for the internal stakeholders.
Awesome. I think there is also an education piece there. Like, it sounds like you did a good job of presenting this to the team in a way that helped them see mm-hmm. that potential and yep. get them excited about it. Because I definitely think mm-hmm. that if you don't really explain what we're trying to achieve here right. and have them see that big picture, then there can be resistance, right?
Right. You're absolutely right. Because I think back now, like, we did do a good job at, like, kind of updating them, letting them know the possibilities of this data integration. And then that's what kind of got them on board.
Awesome. Additionally, to you guys, like you said earlier, you defined what each data point means, what you can do with it. It's not scattershotting out to every field you've ever collected. It's intentionally pulling out what you want and it being there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like being able to segment and do certain groups about certain things. So if you are a new member, you're now going to receive this onboarding about your membership benefits. Great. We've never done that before. So now that we're actually, you know, engaging with them, letting them know what their benefits more robust versus them just getting a welcome letter and then that's it, right? It's now more so going to become more robust kind of engagement. They were so excited and for that opportunity to be there and to, you know, improve upon a process that was not really moving anywhere. Now this process is now going to take them to a different level.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know a lot of times when we're doing integrations and kind of going through this process with our clients, it kind of starts out with a huge list of data fields. How did you go through that process of identifying, like, what do we actually need specifically for personalization? And maybe what are some that aren't necessarily going to be used, and maybe we're just holding on to them, you know, because.
Yes. And so, like you said, ours was no exception, right? We had every field possible known to man that we wanted in there. So we went through that same thing. So we thought about it in this way, where our internal stakeholders are people that, you know, communicate with agents and then people that are going to be communicating with members / customers. So from the agent standpoint, we talked to the internal team that deals with them. What are the necessary fields that we need? Let's talk about this. Let's talk through this. We narrow those fields down. We go to do the same thing, the policy, customer service team. We say, what are the things that we currently talk to with our members now, and what are the things that we want to be able to talk about in the future with our members? What are those things? What do they look like? And so we actually took time to go through possible campaigns or ideas, like automated campaigns. Example would be like the onboarding thing I talked about earlier. That was one of the examples that the customer service team really, really was excited about. And then on the agent, going back to over to the agent side, it was about what do we talk to with the agents about on a regular basis. And so we now are able to just focus on, like, if there are licensed agents that are in Texas and there's a new change in the way brokers can do business in Texas, well, we're able to now segment, not send out to everybody in the field. We can now say all our Texas agents will get this notification because it affects them. So talking to those internal teams were really the, they're very critical because it helped us not just think from a marketing perspective, but think about their kind of daily needs that they need as well, or their most often things that they do with their channels. So they were very, very important in that process to narrow those fields down.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, you start with just a big pile of data and it becomes a discussion around strategy. And then you're leading the discussion with strategy, and that then helps you get to, like, what are the necessary fields. So I love that. It sounds like it kind of drove you, it kind of forced you to have this, like, conversation and collaborate and see it from the different sides of the business and, you know, to narrow down to what data fields do we need.
Exactly. And what was important for me from that experience was I learned a little bit about myself too during that experience, because I don't know if you guys feel this way from a marketing perspective, NPR kind of perspective, like you feel like, you know, you don't think about specifically like industry specific usually. You think about more so how you're going to be able to help that specific industry out with your skill sets, you know? And so it really was great for me to go through that, because I was able to step back outside of myself and what I know, and really listen and take it in, because it's really going to make a difference in the way how I'm going to now see the data too. Not just from a marketing perspective, but from an actual, like, more robust, enhanced experience overall for the business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's giving you like this holistic view, and you're not just coming from a marketing standpoint anymore. You're coming from a communication standpoint, right? Like, how does our organization need to communicate as a whole? And what are all the different ways that I can, and then using your background, your skills and your expertise in the technology piece of it and the data piece of it and the content, like, you know, how you put that messaging together to support those communication needs. So yeah, it definitely takes you a step back. That's awesome.
This will make you feel good. I read a quote that only 5% of associations are developing customized messages for their different audiences. That's 5%. Is that surprising?
That doesn't surprise me. I think that, like, it's pretty standard for that batch and blast approach, where it's just like, I'm doing one message and I'm sending it out to everybody. It's the same message for everyone. And I think Skylar's laughing, but I think that,
hold on. It's the days of, like, here's a memo saying,
yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that, only 5% are actually creating customized messages for all their audiences. I think probably the majority are still in that, like, one message goes out to everyone. And that's the mindset that we're working on shifting. And I think everybody's starting to see it's time to change that, right? But getting there is a whole process, right? And that's what we're here to help with, right?
I like this one too. 50, this is probably true, is what we need to break down. 50% of associations come across as very institutional, managing to be informative, but not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So can associations call their members their product? And
just be a little more less buttoned up. I don't know.
It's easier, right? It's easier way out, right?
Yeah, it takes a little bit of a risk to, you know, try a new tone. You know, it's easier to kind of stick with that marketing speak, professional, like, you know, just get that message out there. But like, how much more engaging is it when you have something that's, you know, a little funny or, you know, just kind of has some heart to it? Like,
right, like think about better. Let's say this is what the problem is. Associations, like the bar association, the medical, they have been around since day one of life, it seems. But like, what if there was like the tech association that's been around since like, what, the 80s or something, some technical forward association? Like, they probably could be a little more engaging. They're probably because they haven't been around so long, so they're not stuffy. Like, we're just so turned off sometimes.
Let's say, like, for example, I always say, like, okay, so, you know, we can all relate to this. As a kid, we grow up doing certain things, like, example, a sport. Well, things always evolve, right? So, example, I did competitive, and this is lame, a little lame, some people maybe, but I was a competitive figure skater back in the day, right? So
that's awesome.
thank you. So me doing like a triple south cow or double axel, right, back in the day, oh my God, they just landed double axel at this level, right? Boom, high marks, because it was one of the hardest things in the program. Fast forward to today's time, where the skaters that are competitive now are doing quadruple jumps. So did I expect the sport to stay the same? Absolutely not. Am I ready to embrace the change of it? Slightly. I'm still going like, oh my God, that's a shocker, right? But am I slowly going on board or kind of enjoying seeing that change happen in the sport of it evolving to something more difficult than when I was doing it? Absolutely. I'm getting on board with seeing like, this is cool. Like, I'm impressed by that. I was not able to ever do that. I'm impressed that the people of today can do that. It shows me that the sport is progressing. So it's kind of like, in a way, how I always think about that when I in my professional career, do I want to stay the same? Absolutely not. I want to always be evolving and changing and learning and growing. I'm considered a millennial. I don't think I am, but I'm considered a millennial. But if someone younger than me or in that is working with me, I'm always inspired by the ideas that I get from them or learn from them myself. I'm always kind of still always a forever growing sponge, I should say.
So
to be able to approach that in a way where, like you said earlier, the bar association, all these associations that have been around for a long time, I hope and I'm enjoying a little bit of seeing that, you know, maybe the data integration and all that stuff is where everybody's like, oh, there are more possibilities. Oh, maybe we can do something different, not necessarily, not all at one time, but slowly get there at a pace where it's not a shocking pace and it's more digestible for most associations, you know?
I feel like cue the music. That was such a beautiful way to kind of express from your figure skating, like, you know, with the images I have in my mind, with like the evolution that you want to grow. And even though you've been around, if you're the American Bar or even AFBA, like you've been around for this length of time that you want to grow and you are, and that whatever you said about the quadruple, you may not be okay with it, but you are open to it and you're always wanting to kind of accept the changes. And
yeah, you see, like, okay, I did a double axel. The double axel was the hardest jump in my program when I was skating, right? Now seeing the skaters of today do a quad, I find that so impressive because it was something that I did not achieve in my skating career, but I can look at that and say, that is difficult and I appreciate it, right? And so I enjoy seeing that it changing and evolving and growing. It's like music too. Oh my, it's like same thing with music. I love oldies. I love oldies, but I also love to see the how the music of today is playing around with different kinds of styles and trying new things out. Like, that's just how I, in my personal opinion, how I always approach things. Like, yeah, the 70s or 80s music, awesome, but then not the same music of today. But it's like, of course it's not. It's going to be different today, right? But I accept it and I learn something from it.
Yeah, and I think it's like building off of what was in the past, right? Like you can't have a quadruple axle jump before you have a double axle jump, right? So it's building on the past.
Exactly. And I get so, you know, I'm sorry, I'm like rambling, but I get so excited when I see things like that change or evolve or grow into something bigger than what I did or what I thought was possible, because I'm like, it's exciting to see. Like, it's just so, for me, it's so cool to see, like, you know, I love supporting and knowing that that's possible, because it makes you just kind of keep reaching. I like to look at it.
Mm-hmm. And I think bringing that back into like what we're talking about with the just personalization in general, like the Discover Weekly and Spotify, I love that. And I appreciate to see that this technology can be that so smart that it can anticipate what I want and present to me exactly what I want to see. And like, I can appreciate that and I can aspire to, how can I start to use that type of technology to do the same thing in my career and in my job and for my, you know, clients or members. So definitely the evolution.
The evolution of the marketer, like Skylar, you said, like Nicole, this holistic view of the data, now that you have that strategy or that thinking in place, now would you say you could be anticipatory and predictive of like what's next, rather than like in the forest with your data and not know and just guess? Like, now you can create those discoverable moments.
Mm-hmm. And you can try stuff, right? You can test things and try new things. That's what the exciting part to me more so is about it. It is like, that's what I feel is bringing upon this newness of like, oh my gosh, we can now try and see how this works, or see if that's going to work, or see, you know, and at the same time, you're learning. So it's all about learning, testing and learning, testing and learning, and it's endless possibilities it brings, right?
Yeah. What are some ideas that you hope to execute on for your organization in the future?
I'm very excited about the possibilities with this organization, because it's a chance for us to really, you know, expand. Do you say expand your wings? What do you say? Not, did I say expand your wings? Anyway.
Spread your wings and fly.
Spread your wings and fly. Yes. A chance to spread our wings and fly, like the Mariah Carey butterfly song. Anyway, so a chance for us to really spread our wings and fly and try out new things that we haven't done before. And although it may seem uncomfortable at the beginning, I appreciate that we also know that we want to go there. We want to see how it's going to change for us. So some things we're excited about are, I know this is not the most advanced or anything, but for us, it's a great step in the right direction. It's, you know, a onboarding campaign would be a great start for us that we're excited to try out, because we're now able to talk to our members a little bit more now. And this is the start, the perfect start for us to do that, to set the tone, for us to kind of get on that relationship level with our members, of them getting comfortable with us now engaging with them more.
Yeah.
And I think that's this is, I think, and for us, this is a good start with that onboarding campaign. To example, talk about member benefits, something as simple as talking about member benefits, talking about even just things, talking about the association itself, the history of the association, and things about, you know, current news that's relative to our members specifically. Simple things like that to begin with, that will then evolve to more, but that's where we're going to, where we're hoping to start with at the data integration, and we're excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you do have to start small, and then when you get successes from those little, from those starting points, then it helps build the momentum, right? So I know the first time I ever built my first email automation program in my last company, first automation, there was some kind of hesitancy around it. I built out just a basic welcome series, and the engagement metrics were like 200 times higher than the batch and blast emails that we were sending out before. And then once everyone saw that, it was like everyone got really excited about it and saw the possibilities and saw, oh, this is actually working. And it helps to kind of, then it's like, what's next? What can we continue? How do we continue to evolve this? So definitely, mm-hmm. like just those beginning steps of getting the data integration in place, identifying those fields that you need, and then having a program that executes on that, you know, that just helps show what's available. Yeah.
And sprinkle on some Skylar, because he's very inspiring. Today, like, I think the takeaway that you're saying is like, yeah, we're starting here, but every association or group is starting somewhere. And I'm thinking, because you're a marketer like us, like Skylar, then you're excited about the next thing, even if it's like getting your data in order and you're at that initial stage for an integration.
That's why I think I hear you, and I totally, like, that's where my head is, the energy, right? That's where it is today. And you guys both said it best too. It's us going to the next phase and being excited about the next phase, and taking it back to that Spotify effect, where, like, discovering new music and that kind of opportunity. This is our discovery phase. Like, we are learning and growing and going to learn more about our customers, by just implementing these simple starting points for us. We'll eventually grow to more and be more necessarily more advanced, like Spotify, those kind of things, you know?
Yeah, awesome. Well, I think this has been really great conversation. Inspired us, Skylar. And thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing.
I thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me, and I really appreciate it. I had so much fun talking with you guys, and all the work that you guys have done with AFBA so far has been great, and it's been such a learning experience, and you're only, you know, helping make us better. So, you know, it's been a great, great kind of collaboration with you guys. So thank you.
Awesome.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you. Thank you.
In this episode of Rethink Association, we saw a glimpse of what it was like for our guest Skylar to go through a major data integration project for his organization. This involved multiple departments weighing in and getting on board. We visualized the quadruple axel on the ice skating rink in relation to how the competition is always innovating, and how the same goes for organizations innovating to better serve their members and customers. Stay tuned for next month on Rethink Association.